persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Stand by.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Looks like Obama is stirring up the birth certificate thing again. Did you hear him talking trash on the birth certificate issue? And you know what that tells me? It tells me Obama's birth certificate is a fake. Really? No one has more responsibility for that whole mess than Obama himself. He was the one that hired, the 3 or 4 or 5 lawyers to stop anyone from seeing his birth certificate? Does anyone remember that? Am I the only one that noticed it? I mean, among my fellow conservative voices, like Levin, whom I love with all my heart, and Beck, with whom I agree at least 80% of the time, never cared about the birth certificate, right? Okay, who cares? Who cares? Who cares about the birth certificate? Let me tell you who cares about the birth certificate. Obama. Obama cared enough to hire a hit team of lawyers to stop anyone, to block anyone from seeing it. Obama is the one who pushed the birth certificate issue into a scandal. And yeah, he might have done it on purpose. He might have done it to keep pressure off demands to release his school records. And I'm with you on that. He might have done it as a sleight of hand trick to keep our attention off some other nefarious evil deeds he was busy with. But at the end of the day, Obama is personally responsible for the entire debacle. All he had to do was release it early on. And I said, remember, you might remember this. I said, if Obama releases his cert now, this is back in the beginning of all of this, I said, the whole thing will blow over. But if he doesn't, in that case, when he's finally compelled to release it, the scandal will never die. The conspiracies will go rolling right along. And no matter what he produces as a birth certificate, it'll be called a fake. So Obama does not get to come off now with this bit about, I didn't ask anyone to ask, hey, where's your birth certificate? Yes, you did. You set that thing up. Here, let me do a live-in for you. Obama started the birth certificate scandal. Obama stoked it. Obama created it. It's on him, you big dope. All right. I know, I'm not live-in. Give me a break. We only need one live-in, and God bless him. And we only need one brain masseur, too, by the way. All right, get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
A great Jewish prophet named Hosea pronounced God's displeasure against Judah, saying, quote, they have set up kings, but not by me, end quote, Hosea 8:4. And hey, you know, what's with the Jew bashing going on against Levin? He's gracious. He goes out of his way to make sure no one thinks he's saying all of this is coming from Trump supporters. He says he has friends who support Trump. And yet he knows that much of this is coming on him because of his willingness to expose Trump for who and what he really is. Thank God we've got Levin out there in our corner on this. Besides, we know that a significant segment in the demographic supporting Trump marches to the beat of David KKK Duke. And Trump encourages this crowd, consistently playing to the anger of the white supremacists, who are typically radical nationalists, by the way, and anti-Semitic, by the way, you know, like fascist Mussolini, the guy Trump quoted in a tweet a while back because he says he wants to be identified with great quotes. Well, maybe he wants to throw a little red meat out there to the white supremacists. Being identified with great quotes, what does that mean? I want to be identified with great quotes. What? Well, what other great quotes is he putting out there? How about none? And then he revealed the real deal. He said to the news guy, talking to him about this, well, got your attention, didn't I? So Trump, you know, it's as Rush says, he plays the media like a Stradivarius. So you like him, some of you. And what that means to me is that he's one of them. You know what I mean? The world loves him because he's one of them. Now, you need to think about this. Donald Trump has the endorsement of KKK David Duke. And you say, well, he denounced the Duke. After he refused to denounce the KKK and claimed he didn't really know David Duke and would have to do some research on it, he mutters something about not knowing enough about him. And if you believe that, give me a break. Trump has had his head stuck so deeply into trying to run little old ladies off their property that he's not paying attention to what's going on in the whole world around him. Everyone in his position knows who David Duke is. Unbelievable. The man's a liar. You know what I mean? And by the way, Trump made it okay to call him a liar when he started throwing that around about his opponents. You're a liar, Trump. Liar, Trump. Liar, Trump. Liar, Trump. Hey, stay with me for a minute here. So, you know, after he had time to work it all out with the Duke, right? Then he denounces the KKK and David Duke. But notice, Duke did not withdraw his endorsement. Listen, radical white supremacists support Trump, and it's like a religious thing with them. And by the way, these people are also real big on Hitler, you know. These are the people who are slugging those who oppose Trump at these rallies. You know, rallies where Trump has said stuff like, quote, "I'd like to punch him in the face, I'll tell you," end quote. So what's that stoking? What's that encouraging? That's Trump for you. Put that next to Cruz dealing with any number of detractors and protesters, I mean, any number of times, where he calmly and patiently speaks with them. And if they become rude or refuse to listen, let him talk. He'll simply say, well, you know, you have a right to your opinion. I guess we disagree on this. Stuff like that. Or, you know, how about the time he flipped a detractor in Iowa on the ethanol question of all things? The contrast cannot be more stark between that orangutan with a bad haircut and a genuine God-fearing patriot. Look, there's a method to my madness here. I'm trying to get under the skin of my Trump-supporting friends so I can, you know, bait them. I let them come at me for name-calling and all that. You see what I mean? So I can say, well, Trump started it. Come on, how many times have you listened or watched Trump and did not think, good night? This guy acts like a teenager, like a bully on the school ground or something. I don't mean to insult teens, by the way. He acts like some kid all puffed up. Nope, he's wrong. You know, putting out the chops, right? Remember that? Ooh, what a chop. That's Trump. Some high school chop master, you know, putting others down to build himself up. I really need my brain massage regulars to reach out to the newbies because probably right about now they're about to hyperventilate. Pass them a bag, help them breathe through it, and then explain. I'm using something called mirroring here. It's a technique whereby we bring something out about someone by mirroring their behavior before them. So allow me to put the mirror down for a moment here. Let's see. Yeah, place that on my desk right there. Good. The contrast between Trump and Cruz could not be more clear. On one side, you have a bully who says to protesters, you know, I'd like to punch him in the face, let me tell you, and whose followers are just like him and actually do punch their political opponents in the face from time to time. Exactly, by the way, like Hitler's followers would physically attack those who oppose Hitler. And then, on the other side, you have a gentleman, gracious and calm when attacked, able to maintain his cool and respond to protesters rationally. Now, here's the question. Whose finger do you want to put on the nuclear button? Trump's crowd gathers and rages with him as he drops his F-bombs and revel with him in the gutter language of Hollywood or the unholy hood. No, don't go there. I lived in the hood during junior high and half of high. Well, I guess it was called the Vadio, but that's the same thing in some ways, isn't it? Anyway, this behavior is not usual among conservatives, at least not among any that I know. And so Cruz observes this, and he says Trump's support is made up of a lot of low-information voters. And that seems like a pretty fair assessment to me. And that's exactly what I'm thinking when I'm watching one of these rowdy Trump rallies. Trump's response is that he likes the poorly educated. That's interesting. Apparently, that's what he thinks of his crowd. Perhaps he is purposely targeting that demographic. I don't know. Is he rallying the angry underbelly of the electorate to his side on purpose? Is that what he's doing? So much so that many of his early supporters who don't identify with that behavior and where his campaign is going, who were at first drawn to him because they saw in him a competent businessman who would take care of business for America. But now they're more and more beginning to see he is becoming the gravitational center of the bitter conservative. And as I watch this, I begin to see that a thought that occurred to me about a month or so ago about Trump is beginning to form into a conviction in my mind about this man. Step back a little farther. Come on. Help me out here. If you're standing too close. You can't see the big picture here. I want you to back up a little bit. Now about five more steps back from Trump, and then just take a look and get the picture here. What do you see? Does he not embody every stereotype liberals have created about conservatives? I mean, in terms of his mannerisms and his approach and so on, and his presentation. He even looks like a caricature of an angry conservative, you know, that you might see in a liberal cartoon. Angry, bitter, raging, crude, ignorant, mean-spirited, crass. Trump's brand of conservatism, the way he's wearing it, looks an awful lot like the caricature of conservatism that liberals have created over the last, what's it been, 36 years since Reagan? In my memory, that's when liberals became insane with their effort to make it out. The conservatives wanted old people to eat dog food, children to die of starvation, and everyone else to die of pollution. You know, Trump looks and sounds like the caricature conservative created by liberals. Again, in terms of his persona and presentation and the crowd he's gathering. At the same time, his policies actually have many characteristics of the distorted compassion we see in liberalism. you know, with this nonsense about I'm a liberal when it comes to health care and I want to make sure everybody's covered and government's going to pay for it. It's unbelievable to me that those of you who hate Obamacare are gravitating to Trump, who wants Obamacare on steroids. The point here is that Trump thinks of conservatives, it seems to me, in exactly the same way liberals do. Another way in which he's more like liberals than conservatives. He wants to rally the F-bombing, bitter, cursing, slugging liberal stereotype of a redneck, gun and gun clinger type thing. I mean, the way the liberal sees them, not the way I see them, but the way they see them, the quote, poorly educated, end quote, right? Trump says, I love the poorly educated. What a thing to say. And I get it. Yeah, I understand that in his mind, in his way of looking at things, he was being complimentary. Yeah, no doubt about it. He was showing appreciation, his deeply heartfelt appreciation for their support. But the point is, he thinks of them as the poorly educated. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what sort of heart spews out the garbage we hear from Trump? Trump sees his followers in just the way an elitist New Yorker would see the average man in flyover country. I mean, in the context of being told Cruz believes that Trump's followers are made up of a significant number of what we have come to call the low-information voter, Trump responds by saying, well, I love the poorly educated, as if that's what Cruz meant. You see, he doesn't get it. And for the record, when we talk about low-information voters, we're not necessarily saying they are stupid or even poorly educated, for that matter. Low-information voters include people who hold BAs, master's degrees, and doctor's degrees, and PhDs. And low-information voters are people who don't bother looking deeply into the policy positions of the candidates, but make their choice on a superficial knowledge of their positions. On the other hand, it's certainly true that people who are poorly educated are easier to dupe. And every con man knows it's easier anyway. Look, Trump has nothing but disdain for his followers. That's the way I see it. He said they would follow him even if he shot someone in cold blood on a street in Manhattan. Does that represent him? Does that describe the kind of person he is? No, he's too sophisticated for that, see? But his followers aren't in his mind. What does that tell you about his opinion of his followers? Trump is a liberal who thinks all he has to do is throw some red meat at the conservative dogs to get them on his side. Sadly, there are enough angry conservatives out there, totally distracted by the red meat he's throwing, so they can't see Trump's record. These together with the crossover liberal dim voters, that's what's given him the edge so far. But, you know, facts are stubborn things. And the fact is, 2/3 of conservatives are voting against Trump, not for him. And that's a fact. And actually, it's more than 2/3. You've got to deduct the liberal crossover voters from Trump's margin. And that is likely, well, pretty close to at least 20%, perhaps, as much as 20%, at 25% even, of his vote in these primaries. Conservatism needs to unite behind Cruz and stop this nonsense now. Trump will not get my vote. I'm going on record right now to tell you, Carson can compromise his convictions. Carson can swallow the stinky camel called Trump. Who implied that Carson was a pedophile and who said as much as that Carson was pathologically angry. And so, you know, Carson can swallow the stinky, flea-infested camel called Trump while he strains and chokes over Cruz's campaign repeating something reported on CNN. I'm done with Carson. Besides, Trump does not need my vote. He's got the Democrats voting for him. He's got all the Democrats voting for him that he needs. Unless Kasich and Rubio wake up, we are going to have a socialist on both tickets. I've written a letter to myself, sealed it in an envelope, mailed it to myself. And after this is all over, I'm going to open it up on the radio and I'm going to read it to you. And you're going to be shocked at just how right on I am about this election. Oh, yeah. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. As for my general observations concerning the debate, immediately I noticed the tone was very changed. Finally, And you know what has happened there, don't you? I heard someone say the reason is that Trump has won and that Rubio and Cruz have both discovered that when they pile on Trump, it only drives voters to Trump. Don't believe it. That's what Trump supporters will tell you for sure, and some others who do. But don't you be fooled. Here's what really happened. They punched the bully in his stinky nose, and he's backed off. Now, you saw a much more docile Trump on that stage than you have seen to date. Trump's tone was totally changed. Now, that strategy of giving Trump some of his own, it worked. In exactly the same way that I have shut up several bullies along the way in my life. One good punch in the nose is usually all it takes. And hey, the reason Rubio is having trouble in Florida, although lately he's begun to surge, you know, and don't forget that Trump always polls high going in, and one wonders if he's not putting his money into getting the polls where he wants them. But what trouble Rubio has had in his home state has nothing to do with his roughing up the Donald, and everything to do with a few other factors. One, what's going on everywhere in this primary that we'll look at more closely in a moment, and I think his voting record in Florida has something to do with this. You know, he was sent there by the Tea Party, and he has from time to time wavered from Tea Party core principles. So it's a multi-layered issue for him there in Florida. But first, remember that Florida is a closed primary. The only way Democrats, or Tea Party voters, for that matter, who are registered as independent, can vote in the GOP primary is if they switch parties. And there does not seem to be any kind of surge of GOP registrations in Florida of late, and none that I can find, or accompanied by a reduction in Dem registrations. The fact is, registrations are up in both parties in Florida, and in neither case is there enough there to suggest any sort of major activity, like the kind of thing you'd expect to see in an Operation Chaos. But anyway, it appears Kasich is going to take Ohio, and the possibility is good that Rubio will surge and take Florida, and that could effectively block Trump from getting the nomination. But really, here's what we need to be looking at right now. If we take CPAC as pretty closely representative of conservatives in the USA, and I think anyone familiar with CPAC would agree, it does represent a pretty broad group of the base of conservatives in America right now, sponsored by American Conservative Union and Young Americans for Freedom, and founded way back in the early 70s, a group that embraced and encouraged Ronald Reagan in the 80s, and has grown into a major force for conservatism in America. If we take CPAC as fairly representative, not perfectly, but fairly representative of the conservative base in America, then Cruz is by far the favorite among conservatives. Trump was invited to participate at CPAC and invited to speak there, but he dropped out at the last minute. Frankly, CPAC is not his crowd, you see. White supremacists joining other angry voters, bitter at the GOP establishment, understandably, by the way, with a significant number of Lib Dems throwing their hand up in the Trump rallies to pledge their support to him, shades of Heil Hitler. That's his crowd. So Trump was a no-show at CPAC, probably the closest thing to a gathering of the conservative base in America today. You must remember, of course, CPAC doesn't always pick the winner. We don't often get our candidate on the ticket, do we? But CPAC does consistently pick the best conservative available from year to year. And anyway, it comes down to this. Cruz got 40% of the straw poll. Rubio got 30. Trump got 15. And Kasich got 8. Now, these are important numbers. These numbers are borne out by the primary results we've seen thus far. And I hear you say, no way, Trump's leading. Well, that's my point. He's not leading among conservatives. If you add Rubio and Cruz votes together and call that the conservative vote, well, the conservative vote beats Trump big time, and something we brought out last show. And if you deduct the crossover Lib Dems that are voting for Trump, you know, as a stop-loss plan on their part, because Trump is, as he has often bragged, well-liked by liberals, you know. Well, then Trump's support among conservatives shows to be even less. The Democrats are electing our candidate again. In the past, they've done it by putting media pressure on the elitists in the GOP party to moderate their choice, to choose someone more agreeable to the Dems. Well, that won't work this year because people are disgusted with the GOP aristos and the media. So here comes the Trumpster. All right, let's run through the debate. I'll try to focus on parts where some useful insight was made available to me. Let's begin with the opening comments. I'll summarize my take on their opening remarks in the order they were given. Kasich was first. Basically, it summarizes like this. I'm going to send money and power to your state, so vote for me. Rubio effectively said, this election is about our identity as a nation and as a people. If we get it right, our children will be prosperous and the 21st century will be a new American century. I don't know what he means by a new American century. whatever. Cruz said, effectively, my dad came here from Cuba at 18 years of age with dreams and hopes, and here he was in the freest land on the face of the earth. He went on to say, this debate and election is not about insults or attacks or any individual. It's about you and your children. It's about freedom, and it's about getting government out of the way of hardworking Americans. So once again, Cruz, substantive, and I think focused. Trump, here's Trump. It's exciting. It's awesome. Everybody's coming out for me. Everybody. We are getting Democrats. We're getting independents. It's great. It's exciting. They're voting out of enthusiasm for me. They're voting out of love for me. If the establishment had any sense, they would know a good deal when they see it. And that deal is me. And we are going to win. We will win. We will win, 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 because I'm a winner. So it's great. It'll be great. And I'll make America great because, well, I'm great. Folks, that's Trump. All static electricity, high-energy smoke generator, blowing smoke in your face while in the back room he's making deals. Because, you know, he's the dealer man, all right? He's the negotiator. He's going to start the bid high and negotiate it down because he's a deal maker. And that's what you're going for. What I found outstanding in these opening statements is this. For Cruz and Rubio, it's all about you. It's about America. It's about freedom. For Kasich, you know, I agreed with what he said. Sending power back to the states is exactly what needs to happen. Exactly as Cruz, by the way, and Rubio repeatedly indicated that they would do. It just felt like he was kind of like begging for votes. Come to me because I'll send money back to your state. Don't get me wrong. Again, he's right on with the idea of transferring power back to the states. Cruz, Rubio would do the same thing. But he came across like, vote for me because I'll send some money to your state. But Trump, with Trump, it's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about, right? You remember that song? You hear it every time Trump opens his mouth. Trump is having people raise their hand in his rallies to pledge their support to him. Heil Hitler. Heil Hitler. Am I watching Hitler rise in America? Trump tries to dance around his praise of China's action in Tiananmen Square. Strong, he says. That doesn't mean good. You know, he said that the Chinese government almost made a mistake, but then they got serious and they behaved strong and they stopped. When he talks about strong leadership, he always means this as a compliment. Now, remember, he complimented Obama, saying, well, he has the marks of being a strong leader. And he's used that language many times with people he admires. Liberals envy strong leaders. Remember, Sean Penn admired Chavez, right? Because he was a strong leader. Liberals drool over the power dictators get to wield over their countrymen. Look how Obama uses his power here. Listen, Trump will be Obama on steroids. He admires the Mussolini quote, better to live one day as a lion than 100 years as a sheep. You know, when asked why he would want to be identified with Mussolini by retweeting one of his quotes, he said effectively he didn't want to be identified with Mussolini. He wanted to be identified with great quotes. Really? Well, how about picking some from Jefferson or Lincoln? Here's one I'd like for him to ponder, summarize, a Jefferson quote. A wise government shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned, end quote. And I would have liked for him to have pondered that when Ahab-like, you know, who coveted the property of his neighbor Naboth and had him killed in order to get it. Trump coveted the property of a neighbor and sought to use the power of the government to steal it from her. If there was ever an example of the rich buying influence of government to use it for his own personal gain, it's Trump. Well, then on the economy, Trump, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be great. It'll be great. Believe me. You know, I know how bad these laws are because, you know, I've used them. I have abused them, and so I know how to fix them. That's pretty much what he said. Some of you like Trump, but I don't get it. He takes advantage of laws favorable to his business. He even pushes the envelope on laws like eminent domain to interest in the interest of his business. And because he's used and abused the law, you think that qualifies him to be the best one to change them and to fix this? He says, nobody else in this dais knows how to change it like I do. Believe me. Later he said, first of all, I think and I know the H-1B very well. And it's something that I frankly use and I shouldn't be allowed to use it. We shouldn't have it. Very, very bad for workers. And second of all, I think it's very important to say, well, I'm a businessman and I have to do what I have to do. Oh, my soul. Are you listening to this man? Just like Clinton. Remember when he was asked why he did some of the bad things that he did? Remember what he said? He said, because I could. He admits to doing things bad for workers and good for him. And his excuse is this. I think it's very important to say, well, I'm a businessman and I have to do what I have to do. Really? You want that guy in the Oval Office? You want this man to have the powers of the presidency? You are out of your ever-loving mind, America. Wake up. Trump supporters are not even listening to what he is saying. It's Obama all over again. I can't believe this is happening. So I'm listening to this, and here's what I hear. Trump is telling me, I take advantage of laws to benefit my business, and I'll even manipulate the laws to serve my business interests because, you know, as a businessman, I got to do what I got to do. And that's why, by the way, you can trust me. That's like, you know, hey, I've robbed a lot of banks, so you can trust me to protect your deposits. Right. I have stolen a lot of cars, and for that reason, you can trust me to park your car. Please give me your keys. Believe me. It's just like a con man. I constantly come back with this. Believe me, trust me, trust me. I know all about stealing cars, so trust me. You've had the truth put right in front of you about this guy. I'm not talking to all conservatives, obviously. I'm talking to really a small group of them. No one supporting Trump right now. I mean, no one who claims to be a Christian conservative, like Phyllis Schlafly, deserves one bit, one ounce of respect. None. I mean, guys like Carson, who stabbed his supporters right in the middle of their backs. That's exactly what we've been dealing with and getting from the GOP that has us so furious in the first place. Backstabbing compromisers. No one who has listened to and followed Carson can possibly follow him one step farther. The guy's a Benedict Arnold. You totally wasted your support on that fellow. And you should make your disappointment know loud and clear. I understand about 80% of you are. All Carson supporters really should go to Cruz. As for Trump, well, you can trust Trump to serve his own interests. He said so. He has bought politicians all his life to help him with his businesses. And now he's buying the presidency to help him with his 120 national deals he told us about that he's working on right now. Cruz, you know, he's shot at for TPP, and he fires back some important correction. And I intended to do an entire show on TPP, TPA, TAA, but I've got some other work I need to do on it before I'm ready to roll out an entire show on that subject. And I want to get into the conspiratorial ring that has been built around all of this, but I'll have to do that later. And we're back to the debate on immigration. Well, you know, Trump, Kasich, Cruz, and Rubio, all of them recognize the need to address this. But I think if you really weigh out the different plans and approaches, Cruz is the only one who has articulated a clear and workable plan to fix this problem, and one that really does answer our needs and our concerns. And then on education, Cruz, frankly, is the only one talking about abolishing the Department of Education. At least I haven't heard Rubio saying like that. I know Trump does not intend to do that, and Kasich won't do it. He's flip-flopped on this thing. Kasich is kind of a little political dancer, okay? Cruz talks specifics and sticks by his guns. He wants to expand charter schools, home schools, and private schools. He wants to go to vouchers, and he wants scholarships and all of this. He's the only one talking specifics and offering a substantive approach to handling that problem. And now, Carson wants to run the Department of Education, all right? And it's believed from some of the things that are being said that Trump has offered this to Carson. Carson is a sellout. All right, I've got to close. There was a very powerful moment in the debate when Cruz pointed out that in Trump rallies, supporters are now being asked to raise their hand as a pledge to support him. Now, folks, if that does not give you the heebie-jeebies, as they're called, I'm not even sure what that means. You know, you don't know history. Heil Hitler. Heil Hitler. Cruz said the only hand raising he wants is with his left hand on the Bible, raising his right hand to pledge to the American people to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And in conclusion, Luke 2:34-35. Mary was told that the Christ child would be, quote, for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And he goes on, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, end quote, thoughts of hearts being revealed. And that's what's going on in this election, I'll tell you. What surprises we have seen. I mean, for example, Palin endorsing Trump. I guess that's not real surprising if you really have followed her career. But Phyllis Schlafly endorsing Trump? Huckabee endorsing Trump? Carson endorsing Trump? What is going on? I mean, is there some dealing going on? Is dealing Donald back there buying these endorsements with favors or promised positions on his team? There is a sickness in the Christian community. When guys like Huckabee and people like Phyllis Schlafly and even someone like Carson would flip over and support Trump. Sunday night, biblical criteria guiding the discharge of a Christian stewardship of the kingdom and their vote. Remember that great Jewish prophet Hosea complained against Judah that they set up kings but not by me, saith the Lord. Go to our website. Go to Resources, Sermons, and then click on Issachar Report and listen to my message, Vote by God. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call, let me know you see that they are on. Call or write. Use 1-888-770-8000 to leave a message for me. On our listener response hotline, go to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com to write me an email. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.